Thank you. Roll call, please.
President Stacey.
Here.
Vice President Arce, excused. Commissioner Jamdar, excused. Commissioner Leveroni.
Here.
Commissioner Thurlow.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Before calling the first item, I'd like to announce that the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission acknowledges that it owns and are stewards of the unceded lands located within the ethno-historic territory of the Muwekma Ohlone tribe and other familial descendants of the historic, federally recognized Mission San Jose Verona Band of Alameda County. The SFPUC also recognizes that every citizen residing within the Greater Bay Area has and continues to benefit from the use and occupation of the Muwekma Ohlone tribe's aboriginal lands since before and after the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission's founding in 1932. It is vitally important that we not only recognize the history of the tribal lands on which we reside, but also we acknowledge and honor the fact that the Muwekma Ohlone people have established a working partnership with the SFPUC and are productive and flourishing members within the many greater San Francisco Bay Area communities today. Thank you.
Item 3, approval of the minutes of June 10, 2025, as corrected for the attendance list.
Thank you. Commissioners, any comments or questions on the minutes? Public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 3. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve the corrected minutes of June 10th?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
The item passes. Item 4, general public comment. Members of the public may address the commission on matters that are within the commission's jurisdiction and are not on today's agenda.
The commission values civic engagement and encourages respectful communication at the public meeting. We ask that all public comment be made in a civil and courteous manner and that you refrain from the use of profanity. Thank you.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 4. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item?
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Paul Wermer, and I'm generally running around as a climate nag at commission hearings. In this case, it's more than just climate, it's housing. And I have this vague recollection that there was some talk about an MOU with LAFCO to study the issue of a green bank, a public bank, that would serve San Francisco. And we've just seen how the mayor's budget has gutted, absolutely gutted, the climate portion of San Francisco Environment's activities in the 2-year budget. That's because these things cost money, and apparently we don't have money. Yet there are a number of things that do cost money that need financing. And there are ways to do that. Ditto on the housing issue. We have this major upzoning plan in front of the city, and we're relying 100% on the market to provide housing for low-income, below-market rate needs, when the city's analysis itself shows that market rate housing creates a demand for 30% of below market rate units. And so the city's inclusionary housing says, yeah, if you pay half of what it costs to build a unit, you'll get by for 20% of the needed units, but only half the cost of those 20%. Market rate housing is never going to solve our problem. Public housing needs good financing options. The public bank offers an excellent way of generating funding and it's been talked about for a long time. I think the MOU with LAFCO to support a study on this and understand what needs to be done, what the opportunities are, what the risks are, is essential, and I urge you to move forward with that. Thank you.
Moderator, are there any other callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item, please.
Item 5, report of the general manager.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier. Item 5A is a wastewater enterprise quarterly report, including our southeast area major projects. Bessie Tan will be presenting.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Stacy and commissioners. This is Bessie Tam, and I'm going to be presenting the quarterly report to you. May I have the slides, please? So just want to highlight again, this is a photo of our Southeast Wastewater Treatment Plant. I understand some other commissioners have done a recent tour. So this is, you can see in the background, here, there's the 5 tanks from the biosolids digester project. So we hope that the rest of the commissioners, you know, you're welcome to come and see the facilities when you have an opportunity. So as usual, we like to highlight a couple of the construction projects in the program for your information and just showing the diversity of the projects. On the left, you can see this is the North Shore Wet Weather Pump Station Improvement and Disinfection Project. The construction work are not ladders. The reason that this photo is shown as such is because this is actually our operation control room improvements. So initially, we were going to show like the computer screens and the control room. And of course, our security folks reminded us that, you know, we should not do that for security purposes. So this is just a construction photo just to show you the work that was being performed during that time. The interesting fact is that this facility and this control room was originally built in 1982. So after 43 years, this is the first time that this space is being remodeled and modernized for our wastewater folks to operate this facility on behalf of our ratepayers. The middle picture is the Channel Force Main Intertie project. So this is a construction project that's happening on Cesar Chavez Avenue. What you see is basically a giant hole in the ground with a lot of rebars and formwork inside. This project is over 65% complete, and when it's done, it's going to provide really critical redundancy for some of the wet weather flow to be conveyed from our channel force main, which carries a majority of our bayside flow to Southeast Treatment Plant during dry weather. So this is a really critical project that's underway as we speak. Last but not least, on the right side is the channel pump station bar screen replacement. And we're actually doing this project under our R&R program. And this image from March captures the contractor utilizing a crane to lower the bar screens into the channel at the channel pump station. So again, the bar screens are where a lot of the bigger pieces of material are screened out before it enters our system. So critical part of our regular operations to protect our system. This is the SSIP phase one status. So this is a pie chart that we share with the commission showing the number of projects that are in different phases. So as you can see here, a majority of our projects are in construction. And between last quarter in December to this quarter, the changes are highlighted in the blue text. So we had a number of projects that shifted from the completion into closeout as well as from projects into completion. So you can see that it shifted from seven projects in closeout to 54 into completion. Here is the SSIP status cost summary. On the top hand corner, you can see it references table 3 in the SSIP report. The last two columns shows the variances. So the second to the last column on the right shows the variance between our current forecast budget to the current approved budget. And that number is consistent with what we have shown in the past. So overall, we're about almost $200 million in variance in the overall program in SSIP Phase 1 and other SSIP. The last column, E, shows the cost variance between last quarter and this quarter. So you can see that we actually have a positive variance. Overall, we're about $9 million in the positive variance. And as I've talked about before, these numbers will continue to change as the projects shift, move up and down in the cost. We'll continue to be looking for ways to reduce the variance and report to the commission. The next slide is the cost summary for the facility and operations subprogram under the wastewater program. And in this quarter, we are showing a $2.9 million cost variance. This is due to a projected increase in the Southeast Outfall Condition Assessment and Rehab Project. However, we have identified opportunities and cost savings in another project in this program. So we do expect that this cost will be brought back to net zero in the future upcoming reports. I'm not going to read all the items in this slide. This is just to demonstrate that overall we have achieved over 16 milestones in this quarter. So we've hit various milestones you can see here that's listed out in this page. The other thing we want to highlight for you is a photo of a recent citywide partnership award that the PUC participated in. And this is a nice photo of the team receiving their award for the Wawona Area Stormwater Improvement Project. PUC, we actually received two awards. The Wawona Project received a bronze award from the city partnership. And then the other project is the Brick Sewer Improvement Project, which received a silver award in this citywide partnership program. So that was a really fun day for us to participate in and also have the teams receive these awards along the contractors. Now I'm moving on to the major projects at Southeast. The first one is the Southeast Plant Biosolids Digester Facilities Project. We are now, again, past the peak, the 50% construction. We're almost at 80% complete in the construction phase, and the overall project is more than 64% complete. So just moving along and looking forward to the startup phase in 2026. And last but not least, the Southeast Plant New Headworks Facility Project. We are approaching substantial completion. That's what we're moving forward to. And as a reminder, we want to also thank the commission that in May 2025, you did approve an agenda item for demolition work of Southeast Plant 012 building to be demolished along with this project. So that work has already begun, and we do anticipate that this project will be achieving completion in the end of this year. So very exciting times. We're already utilizing this facility, so we're still in the startup phase and waiting for that facility to turn over to our wastewater enterprise operators to use. And with that, I'm open to any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Tam. Commissioners, any comments or questions? Commissioner Leveroni.
Thank you, Ms. Tam. This is a great report. If I could just go back to the spreadsheet on the forecast and the budget and that sheet.
Can we get the slides up, please? Thank you.
That one, yes. when we go current approved budget, is that the original, or if there were changes during the period, would that number, that column, get increased, and then forecasts would go along with that?
So the current approved budget is the latest approval from the commission. So this was approved by the commission in February 2024. Right?
Okay, and then if subsequently after we approve that, we then may have looked at and found other items, let's say with the treatment facilities that needed to be added. Let's say it was 100 million or something like that. Would that go under current approved budget again? It would just increase that amount, or would it show here's where we started, here's another one that we had to, you know, not had to, but we approved, and now here's where our forecast is?
So generally, we come to the commission to request for additional approval basically every 2 years along with the 10-year CIP.
Okay.
So the approved budget is what you would approve during that time. And if we have a change in a project, because you can see that these are by categories. So if it's within the project, if there are, so there's a number of projects within each category. So there will be different projects that have numbers that moves up and down. So we do try to reallocate budgets within the category as much as possible before we ask for a change in approval. So generally what you will see if there are major changes is in the forecast, which is just what you're seeing here in column C. So column C is the changes in the forecast by the category over time between the last time you approved the budget to where we are today.
Great, thank you very much. I'd answer the question.
Thank you.
Should we take public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on this item. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier. Item 5B is a water bonds update. Nikolai Sklaroff will be presenting.
Good afternoon, commissioners. It's always a pleasure to have a chance to speak to you, but it's especially a pleasure to come bearing good news. And today we have the results of the bond sale that you approved at your May 27th commission meeting. At that meeting, you approved $1.5 billion of potential bonds. The most important component of that, of course, was the new money debt that allows us to continue with that program. That was about $474 million of the approval, with another billion of it of potential refunding bonds. At our prior meetings, we've described for you the elaborate rating process we went through to maintain the strong ratings. And as a result of that sale that proceeded on June 5th and 6th, we were able to price the bonds. We sold $988 million of bonds, including $304 million for local and regional projects, $133 million for Hetch Hetchy, and over $555 million of refunding bonds. And I want to spend some time today talking about those refunding bonds. Of course, as I said, the most important part is making sure that we keep the capital projects moving, and that's what we do regularly. This was our first new money sale since 2023, and our next one is scheduled for fiscal year 2027. But the Build America bonds were bonds that were issued in 2009-2010. They were taxable bonds with a 35% federal subsidy promised to us. That subsidy has since been reduced to about 33% due to federal sequestration. And in the last 2 years, as a result of the ARPA federal legislation, those funds would have been sequestered fully, but for the fact that Congress waived that sequestration. And now the market is concerned about whether the new Congress will continue to waive that sequestration, which would cause us to lose our federal subsidy. The refunding of those Build America bonds came about because of two things. One is, as you can see, because of the confluence of interest rates, the dynamics between tax-exempt and taxable rates, we entered a small period recently where it became advantageous to refund those bonds. Historically, it wasn't so because of the extraordinary call that's necessary for those. In addition, there was Supreme Court litigation by the Indiana Power Authority that helped to clarify our ability to use that special call feature. So we entered the market in an extremely volatile period. As we described during our May meeting, after the tariffs were announced, there was particular volatility and a concern, frankly, whether the refunding might still make sense. As it turned out, rates at the front end of the yield curve were relatively low compared to the rest of the year, although the longer rates were still rather high compared to where they've been over the year. But we did enter the marketplace. We had a retail order period on our first day. We had extremely good success with that. Most of the bonds were fully subscribed for. We had about 0.7 times subscription just from the retail investors. That allowed us to reduce rates for the second day when we took orders from institutional investors. And because that was more than two times oversubscribed, we were able to further reduce the rates. So it was a very successful sale. The key components of that were that we were able to achieve low interest rates. For the refunding portion, which was a shorter financing of about 9 years, we achieved a rate of 3.54%. That's an all-in TIC, true interest cost, which reflects all of the costs associated with the borrowing. The new money we were able to extend further out, and you'll see in a few moments how that helped to improve the impact to our ratepayers, and those carried a slightly higher interest rate. As a result of that, as we described in May, our purpose for refunding the BABs was not to achieve savings. It was to mitigate the risk that in the future that subsidy would go away. I'm pleased to come here to report to you today that we were able to achieve savings. We were able to achieve cash flow savings of just under $2 million a year in debt service. That's what would be reflected in our rates in the future. Now, as a finance person, we also account for the time value of money. So when we look at the time value of money and the fact that we released a debt service reserve fund, which were funds that were set aside from the initial borrowing in 2009 and 2010, that results in a lower present value savings. That still was able to achieve nearly break even. So we were very pleased with the results. Now, I want to clarify, when we came to you, we had three series of Build America bonds. This is for the first two series. And I'll come back to the third series in a second. I do want to express, as we do each time, that with every negotiated sale, we have an independent pricing consultant come in after the sale to evaluate how the pricing was. PFM Financial Advisors, which is the largest financial advisor in the municipal finance industry, has published that report and determined that we had a fair price for our bonds. That's in addition to the two municipal advisors who advised us on the actual sale. So, over the last several months, we've come to you many times now between asking you for borrowing and reporting on the results. We can now report on all of the water bond sale results together. This is what we've accomplished this spring. We've issued now over $2 billion of bonds. Only $437 million of that was new borrowing. Most of this debt was refinancing. And most of it achieved very substantial savings in our rates. Between the cash flow savings we achieved on the first sale, which were $56.2 million, and the $39.4 million that we achieved with this sale, that's $95.6 million in cash flow savings for our ratepayers. Now, it doesn't mean rates will go down, because this was offset then by the new borrowing we did, but it has helped us to reduce the impact of the new borrowing that we're doing. This is simply a snapshot of where we stand after this. We refinance our commercial paper. We've issued new bonds. But again, most of this was refinancing that lowered debt. So here's where this impacts our ratepayers. As you look at this chart, the yellow portions of those bars are the refinancing that we did. Again, relatively shorter part, but it's the part of the repayment structure where we have a lot of debt. So we're able to achieve savings where we have a lot of debt service coming due in the future. We were then able to layer on our new money bonds, and we were able to defer some of that principal where we had that hole in the back of our debt service and fill that in. So we've been able to really mitigate the impact on our future rates with this combination. So let me come back then to the last piece, the Build America bonds. We had those three series. The third series was the G bonds. These bonds have never been in the market. They were moving towards it during the spring, and that got interrupted after the tariffs. Based on your authorization in May, we will continue to monitor it. It would take about a 75 basis point, so 0.75% movement in rates for that to happen. That's not likely to happen quickly, but again, this has been a volatile period, so we will continue to watch that throughout the summer and then hope to report back to you that we've managed to secure further savings. And with that, I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you so much. Commissioners, questions or comments? Commissioner Leveroni.
Excellent job. Thank you. That was, we never like to time the market, but you you did a very good job, if we have to say so on that. I guess we're with the new money and where we're at, I mean, we're in a good position, and we've got additional money to continue with the projects and complete projects. I'm just trying to get in my mind if there is this going to continue, because there'll always be new projects that need to be funded. But is that as we're catching up over the years with our deferred maintenance, do we see that dipping down the amount of, say, new money we may need versus the refinancing of the bonds?
So it's a very good question. I think as you reflect back on the chart that we just showed with the debt service, a lot of that was because we've gone through our WISIP program. And so we've had a substantial amount of historical borrowing. But as you can see, of the debt that we've already issued, that debt falls off in terms of debt service. And that creates the room for us to potentially layer in further debt as time progresses. One of the things I'd like to highlight is that while I talked about rates being volatile and the like, the rates we were able to achieve were substantially less than the 6% rate that we use for planning purposes. So that's a further savings versus the plan that you adopted in February.
Okay. Thank you. And I guess we just have to watch the tweets to see where the market's going to go.
Commissioner Thurlow.
I think this is just clarification, but the 75 basis point threshold that you have for a reduction in Treasury yields is still assuming that you don't have any like complete sequestration of the refund that you get from the federal government, right?
So if there were sequestration, refinancing now would produce a savings. We don't know that there will be a sequestration. But what we're trying to do is not achieve savings from these refinancings, but mitigate locking in dis-savings.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So it's just to make sure that I have the right summary in my head. If we did see indications of complete sequestration, then that 75 basis point number changes in terms of your calculation for moving forward.
Yes. And based on your authorization in May, we would have the ability to move forward quickly with that. Now, I should clarify that should anything change about the SFPUC's credit, in particular our water credit, we may have to reissue disclosure and would come back to you certainly to approve that disclosure. Now, for the 75 basis points I was referring to, that would be to achieve a NPV, a net present value savings neutral financing. We could get to a cash flow neutral refinancing at about half that level, but we'd want to be much closer to the 75 basis points.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is really helpful.
Certainly.
Thank you, and kudos to you and your team for a successful sale. And I may be asking the same question again. I just wanted to drill down a little bit on the decision not to sell the Series G, the 2010 sub-Series G. Was it just an assessment of how to optimize the sale at the time, that it was better to hold some of these back?
Yes, and first, thank you for the kudos. I'd be remiss in not acknowledging that, as with all of our financings, there's a large team, including the AGM, the city attorney's office, the general manager of each of the AGMs behind me, and members of my staff who are here, Eric and Giselle. But in addition to that, the assessment was that this particular series doesn't produce cash flow savings. So we would be locking, if we had refinanced that on June 5th and 6th, we would have been locking in and guaranteeing the savings without knowing that the subsidy is going away.
I see.
Now, fortunately, as the spring has progressed, some of the threats to that subsidy have been mitigated, but each January we will await the decision of Congress of whether they will waive that sequestration or not. So we still have that option to refinance. We'd like to refinance, though, when it's not locking in the savings.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks to the whole team. This is really a big effort with lots of expertise and lots of involvement across the PUC. Thank you for acknowledging that, too. Should we take public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 5B. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised? Moderator, are you there?
Oh, Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item, please.
Madam President, before I conclude my report, I just want to make a comment and an acknowledgement. Many of the items that you see come before you are contracts that start wending their way through to you through our Contract Administration Bureau. And at the end of this year, June 30th, the director of our Contract Administration Bureau, Ivy Fine, will be retiring after 20 years of service as the director of our Contracts Administration Bureau. She's been here for over 20 years and came to us from the private sector. And the good work and the comprehensiveness and the completeness that you see in many of the contracts that come from before you for approval or some sort of action are a direct result of the fabulous work that is done by her and her great team. And she has built an incredible team, and we are certainly going to miss her. And she has a wonderful smile, a great sense of humor, which is always an important thing when you work at the PUC. And we are going to miss her good nature around 525 Golden Gate. But I know that she has left her team in a great place, and she deserves an incredible amount of credit for the great work that you see and the work product that you see before you. So I just want to acknowledge Ivy and thank you for her tremendous service and her wonderful wit, and we're going to miss you. So congratulations on your retirement. We wish you the very best in the next step of your journey. And if you'd like to say anything, Ivy, the floor is yours. And if not, it's up to you.
She can't not.
I really didn't mean the not part, you know.
Thank you for your kind words and your support, which has been incredibly meaningful to me, especially in the last number of years. You know, I came thinking I would stay a couple of years, never thinking I would stay as long as I have, but what an honor it is to be able to do work that directly impacts the city that we live in and our infrastructure. And every day I have the honor of looking out at the Tenderloin Elementary School and the playground, and I don't know if there's any more motivation or incentive for all of us to do the best job we can than looking at tomorrow's generation. So it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
And I just wanted to add, Ms. Fine, I've seen you at work over the years, and you have brought extraordinary intelligence and thoughtfulness to everything that you do, and the improvements that you've made along the way, and your team has always been so strong. I really have so valued all that you bring to the job, and I wish you all the best in retirement. Enjoy it. But thank you for sticking around longer than you expected and for your really extraordinary service to the PUC and to the city. So thank you.
Madam President, that concludes my report.
Thank you. Next item.
Item 6 is the Bay Area Water Supply and Conservation Agency report.
Good afternoon, Mr. Smagel.
Good afternoon, President Stacey and commissioners. Tom Smagel, CEO of Bosca, and just for Commissioner Thurlow's benefit, we haven't met yet. Bosca is the representative of the wholesale water customers of the regional water system and collectively serves 1.8 million people in three counties. So thank you all for your service to our customers. We recently completed two work products, and can I have the slides, please? That I just wanted to share a couple highlights from. The first is that we conducted our annual survey of the agencies, which updates data, including water use and population, through fiscal year 2023 and 2024. Notably, what's shown here on the first slide is that our overall water use continues to be lower while population increases. Since fiscal year 1986-1987, the population of the BOSCA member agencies is up 34%, but the water use is down, I'm sorry, the population is up 34% and the water use is down 29%. Since 1983, residential water use per capita is down 50%, is now at 57.2 gallons per capita per day. So it's a bit more than in San Francisco, but the service territories in the peninsula and the South Bay are a little bit more suburban, a little bit larger yards and that sort of thing. So it's a notable accomplishment for our communities to reduce their water use that much. The second set of slides I want to reference is on the recently published BOSCA 21 to 23 drought report. And the report highlights BOSCA's outreach and communication efforts, which included different forms of messaging, enhanced conservation programs, and outreach events, among other programs. One of the key findings of the report, and you'll see this in the chart on the right side of the slide here, it was that water demand reductions stemming from the earlier 2014 to 2016 drought had never really dissipated in the intervening years, and that water demand reductions in our most recent drought of 21 to 23 were much more modest. Now, every drought is different, and every drought has different circumstances, but the more limited response in 2021 to 2023 prompts questions about things like messaging fatigue and also what we call demand hardening, which is when residents have gotten so efficient, particularly with outdoor water use, that they find it harder and harder to conserve during a drought. The report highlighted several action items to prepare for future droughts, and those include better coordinated planning with SFPUC and other regional partners, enhancing the conservation programs, making sure that agencies are retaining access to data for analysis, including AMI data, and investigating that potential demand hardening, looking at the data and trying to determine if we're going to be able to be successful in the future with calls for 20% rationing, that sort of thing. So BOSCA hopes to work with your staff and others to build on past successes during droughts and improve our regional drought response in the future. That's the end of my report. I will point out that detailed reports on both of these items are available on the BOSCA website, and they're pretty interesting, so go ahead and take a look at those. That does conclude my remarks if you have any questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, comments or questions? I really appreciate all the outreach and the work that BOSCA has done to try to conserve and manage demand over the years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could we call for public comment, please?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 6. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there's no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you for the report.
Item 7 is the consent calendar.
Commissioners, any comments or questions on the consent calendar? Let's call public comment.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 7, the consent calendar. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar?
Motion to approve.
Second.
President Stacy?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 7 passes.
Thank you.
Item 8, approve updates to the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission's existing commercial clothes washer rebate program.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Julie Ortiz. I'm the water conservation manager with SFPUC. and I am seeking your approval today to make a few adjustments to our existing commercial clothes washer rebate program. This rebate program is one of the many conservation assistance measures we offer. We have provided an extensive suite of financial incentives, staff assistance, tools, and education to help all types of our customers, properties, and residents and businesses save water. The purpose of the commercial clothes washer rebate program is to encourage laundromats, commercial properties, and multifamily properties with common area laundry rooms to save water by replacing old high water using clothes washers with water saving and energy saving Energy Star certified models. Energy Star washers use a lot less water and energy than federal code and conventional washers. We started our clothes washer rebate program back in 2004, and at that time we set the rebate amount at $150 a machine, and we incrementally increased that over the years to $500. And then in 2023, we received a budgetary add back from the Board of Supervisors, which allowed us to temporarily increase the rebate to $5,000 per qualifying machine. And that add back supported a Board of Supervisor effort and city legislation to help laundromats stay in San Francisco, recognizing their very vital role in serving, in particular, low-income residents in very dense neighborhoods. So to support that initiative, we also received commission approval in 2023 to increase the rebate amount, and at that time to temporarily increase the rebate amount and to limit the multifamily eligibility to just the largest multifamily properties with over 10 dwelling units. We conducted extensive multilingual outreach during that time to let properties know about the increased rebate amount, and we issued over 150 rebates since 2023, mostly to laundromats. We found during that time the average purchase cost of the machines was about $2,300, so most participants received 100% of their purchase costs through our rebate. We've now fully expended the budgetary add back, and we want to adjust the rebate amount down to $1,000 a machine, which we think more closely aligns with our other rebate programs. We also think it's still a very generous rebate that would cover for most about 50% of the purchase cost, and we think would still motivate participants to go ahead and make the purchase and save water and money and energy. We also want to remove the size restriction on multifamily property participation and make a few other minor administrative updates. So that concludes my remarks. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, Commissioner Leveroni.
Did we see the over the years, has demand now tapered off, or is there still a demand out there at any level?
The demand for interest in the rebate program?
Yes.
We still see it. There's a limited number of laundromats in San Francisco, and some of them have left the city. This program in past years has also served multifamily properties. There's more multifamily properties. It has ebbed and flowed a little depending on how many products are on the Energy Star list. And, you know, we tend to have to regularly do outreach and continue that. But looking collectively since 2004, we've had steady participation. So it hasn't, you know, we still see opportunities, which is why we want to continue the program.
Should we take public comment?
Thank you.
Thank you for the report.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 8. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve item 8?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacy.
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni.
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow.
Aye.
Item 8 passes. Item 9, approve an increase of $1,500,000 to the cost contingency and an increase of 266 calendar days to the duration contingency for contract number HH-1013, Moccasin Compound Water System Filtration Edition with Sierra Mountain Construction Incorporated.
All right. Good afternoon, President Stacy, General Manager Herrera, and Commissioners. I'm Kim McFarlane, and I'm the Project Manager for HH-1013. May I have the slides, please? So Moccasin is located between Highways 120 and 49 in Tuolumne County in the Sierra foothills. The project site, the SFPUC Water Enterprise Moccasin Compound Water System, is located above Moccasin, east of the helipad, and adjacent to the Moccasin penstocks on a rather steep hillside. The system is supplied by Hetch Hetchy Reservoir via the penstocks and produces drinking water for the employees and residents of Moccasin. The system uses UV disinfection to treat the water prior to distribution. During Hetch Hetchy system outages and under some water quality conditions, the water supply requires filtering as well as UV treatment. A microfiltration unit is being constructed to treat raw water with a turbidity of less than 5 NTUs and potentially as high as 100. The installation of a permanent solution for microfiltration relieves the SFPUC of elevated costs associated with renting a temporary unit to support construction outages. Prior to design and construction, a geotechnical investigation was conducted and the depth to competent bedrock was determined. This was the original design of the new building with a retaining wall supported foundation. Unfortunately, when we began construction, the competent bedrock was deeper than anticipated. The difference meant we would need to modify the design to something constructible while keeping the same project site. This here is a photo showing the contractor excavating the competent bedrock on the lower foundation of the building. The original design was very dependent on the location of competent bedrock. It's probably hard to read this small font, but there are various notes on the plans calling out embedment and bedrock. So switching to drilled piers provided a constructible design given the changes in bedrock elevation. The design team also changed the lower foundation drilled piers due to variations in the bedrock elevations at that location and to facilitate constructability of the upper drilled piers. So we are recommending the Commission approve an increase of $1.5 million to the existing cost contingency for a revised cost limit of almost $6.1 million. We are also recommending an increase of 266 days to the existing duration contingency for a revised duration limit of 646 days, ending the contract June 30th, 2026. These adjustments are necessary to address additional costs and schedule impacts resulting from the change in the foundation design partway through construction as a result of the deeper than anticipated bedrock and constraints that limited the ability to cut into the slope. For future work in this area, we will recommend conducting more thorough geotechnical investigations in advance of the design. Are there any questions?
Commissioners, questions or comments? Thank you for the report. I have a question about the location. So this is an addition.
Yes.
And it's adjacent to the water filtration system that we have now.
Which is a temporary unit, but it's adjacent to our UV system.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And is the bedrock different, or did we just not know, even for the existing system, where that bedrock was?
I'm not quite sure what was done for the existing system, but prior to this design, they had done two geotechnical borings, and then they used information from the adjacent penstocks. And they thought that was sufficient, but it turned out you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
It was varied in geological conditions for this small localized area.
I see. Thank you.
Okay.
Should we take public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item number 9. Are there any callers? Excuse me. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none. Moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve item 9?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 9 passes.
Thank you.
Item 10, accept work performed by JDB and Sons Construction Incorporated under contract number WW-704, various location sewer replacement number 9.
Good afternoon, President Stacey, Commissioners. My name is John Wong. I'm a project manager with the Infrastructure Division. I'm here to request your approval to accept the work performed, including modification number 4, decreasing the contract amount by $10,750, and increasing the contract duration by 11 calendar days, and authorization to issue final payment. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions, comments?
No. It's good to hear a decrease, no matter how much it is.
Should we take public comment?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 10. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve item 10, please?
Motion to approve.
Second.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 10 passes.
Thank you.
Item 11, approve an increase to Clean Power SF's payment of its share of ongoing general and administrative cost under its agreement with the California Community Power Authority from $4,772,710 to a total not to exceed amount of $8,286,095 for a period of 23 years and authorize the general manager to seek Board of Supervisors approval.
Good afternoon, President Stacey, commissioners, and General Manager Herrera. My name is Cheryl Taylor, and I'm the Operations Manager for Clean Power SF. May I please have the slides? Great. I'm here today to seek approval, commission approval to increase the not-to-exceed payment of Clean Power SF's share of ongoing general and administrative costs as a participant in the California Community Power Authority. The increase would be from $4,772,710 to $8,286,095. This would be for the remaining 23 years of the funding approved for this by this commission in resolution number 23-0139. Also seeking approval to authorize the general manager to seek Board of Supervisors approval if needed. I would like to provide a brief refresher on the value of California Community Power, or CC Power, for Clean Power SF. CC Power was formed in 2021 to combine community choice aggregators purchasing power for renewable energy supply and related programs and services. We became a member in April 2021. Our membership was approved by both the Commission and the Board of Supervisors. Currently, there are 9 members that represent over 3 million customers across almost 150 municipalities, spanning from Humboldt County way up north to Santa Barbara County. CC Power is subject to the Brown Act. All of its board members are open, all of its board meetings are open to the public. So the major benefit of CC Power for Clean Power SF is that it facilitates our compliance with California Public Utilities Commission orders to procure certain types and volumes of renewable energy. Since Clean Power SF joined CC Power, the Commission and Board of Supervisors have approved Clean Power SF's participation in 4 new projects procured by CC Power. 2 are long-duration storage projects, our share is about 20 megawatts, and 2 geothermal, or firm clean resource projects, and our share is 23 megawatts. CC Power also allows Clean Power SF to participate in the bulk or joint purchase of other products and services that help us operate Clean Power SF. For example, through CC Power, we've procured power market data and intelligent subscription services and market consultant reports at a fraction of what these services would cost if we procured them on our own. The CC Power Board adopted a strategic business plan in December 2022 focused on a few of these key actions, which are enumerated below. Hire a full-time general manager, this has been done, and hire additional staff to support project implementation and conduct additional procurement activity, and this has also been done. They are currently in the midst of implementing committed projects and building organizational capacity for further collaboration among the membership, as well as adding to the portfolio of projects, programs, and services where and when beneficial to members. And so this includes continuing to assist members to meet current and future regulatory requirements and identifying opportunities for efficiencies in procuring power supplies and providing other programs. So to implement the strategic business plan in the near term, CC Power projects a total fiscal 25-26 budget of approximately $1.5 million. The budget is comprised primarily of staffing services and operations, as you see, a little over 1.5, and a contribution to operating reserves of $50,000. So our equal share, Clean Power SF's equal share is about $173,000. The not to exceed amount is based on an estimate of these annual costs, $200,000 per year escalated at 5% per year. That amount provides a little headroom for unexpected costs over the 23 years of remaining funding approval. And that term, 23 years, aligns with the existing power purchase agreements we have in place with CC Power. So today, staff asked for commission approval for the following: increase not to exceed amount from approximately $4.7 million to $8.3 million for the remaining 23 years of funding approval, and authorize the general manager to seek Board of Supervisors approval of this not to exceed amount if necessary. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for the presentation. Commissioners, questions or comments? Commissioner Leveroni?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Trying to get an overview of all of this, and your presentation was excellent. Yeah. But so this is an organization that the nine help fund,
and yes,
and the nine different agencies, us being one. And with that, part of it goes to salaries and administration and that, and then part of it goes to the couple of projects, two, three, four, five projects as they come up, and fund those projects?
So, yes, my understanding is it definitely funds the staff, as well as some very early stage explorations for projects that might come under development as they sort of like fill out a little bit. So one thing I know that the CC Power organization provided a couple years ago was a Build It Right workshop, although I think it was called Getting It Built Right, which was a convening of community and labor unions to really sort of consider how we develop renewable energy, you know, in the 21st century, you know, considering land rights, land access, and community impacts. Fair labor, and you know, as well as sort of the renewable energy itself. So things like that, as well as one of the other things that is funded is this. I believe it's a pretty high, very high value sort of market intelligence service where, you know, that really helps us sort of understand the very volatile energy markets that we're in now. I know a few of the other staff who preceded me have talked about the impact of the sort of federal budget bill and tariffs, and that is definitely having an effect on the power markets. And so this subscription, I think that I understand would be quite prohibitively expensive on our own, you know, has enabled us, you know, along with our eight other, you know, sort of partner organizations, you know, to access that real-time market information.
Okay, and it looks like with the California PUC, I guess it sounds to me like there's a lot of regulation that they push down, and this helps all the agencies, the nine that are members right now, be compliant with completing whatever.
Exactly, exactly. The California Public Utilities Commission, I believe in 2021, or maybe even 2019, began issuing sets of procurement orders where they direct the subject load-serving entities like Clean Power SF, but also the investor-owned utilities like Pacific Gas and Electric, to procure a certain type of energy, right? And so the firm clean resource that I was talking about before is one of those types of energies. It's for us, it's geothermal. It's sort of very hard to come by and quite expensive on our own. And so to sort of like combine the buying power, you know, sort of helps us, puts us in a relatively strong negotiating position with potential counterparties. And I will say some of these procurement orders from the California Public Utilities Commission are on timelines that have proven to be sort of a little short. So it's, you know, it's the partnership or the participation in CC Power has really sort of helped us to show, you know, sort of contract for these resources and comply with these orders.
Okay, and so we originally had approved 3.5 or whatever the number might have originally been, and now something has occurred that we need to increase it to 4.7 or 4.8.
Right. Yeah. So the increase, the base was about 4.7 million, and the increase would be about 3.5 million, or 75%.
Right.
And I think that's really owing to the complexity of the procurements. So one thing I'll say is we did start out, as I had said, with an executive director who has incredible experience. We realize it is not a one-person job, and that this the staff person, the general manager needed a procurement developer, a procurement director rather, pardon me, to really sort of source projects. And, you know, sort of develop what is known as requests for information, requests for offers, that sort of thing. So I think it's sort of the concept has evolved as well as the requirements from the state of California. Because, you know, we are sort of a critical part. All of the load-serving entities that provide electricity in California are a really critical part to helping the state achieve its climate goals. Okay. And, they're quite aggressive. Yeah. But, you know, we need it as a state.
So the 8.3 million, say, going forward for the next 23 years, is it safe to say we just divide that by 23 years and that was our cost per year, or am I missing something there?
Just the increase. The only thing that would be missing would be the annual escalator of about 5%. Yeah.
Okay.
So 200,000 for about each year escalated by 5%.
And then I'm thinking it's possible that we would get a request like this possibly again within the 23 years, because if the California PUC makes other changes or other requirements, it'll be down to the 9 or however many are at that time to deal with that.
You know, I think we're sort of believing and trusting that there's going to be some durability in this request, that, you know, we've sort of considered sort of like the span of the engagement with CC Power. But the California Public Utilities Commission has issued sort of newer procurement orders as well. So that part is a little bit of a wild card, but I think we are pretty confident that this will be a durable budget for this organization.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Hi, thanks for the presentation. It's really, really educational. My question is related to how costs are allocated among members as a function. It looks like G&A costs, as you said, are split equally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense. But then also, what happens as projects mature? And that was a little less clear to me. And how do we think about that and the return on investment at various gates?
Both very good questions, yes. So so the general and administrative costs are split equally by all the nine member community choice aggregators, no matter the size. But sort of as projects progress, the members sort of have to opt into them. And so those costs are allocated. I believe they are allocated on a sort of a project size basis, like the share of the project that we and our partner community choice aggregators would take. So those aren't sort of like equally allocated. For example, if the East Bay community choice aggregator, which is known as AVA, takes a bigger share because they may have a sort of a bigger territory, then they'll pay more for the project. But for the general and administrative, I think the feeling is that we all, benefit equally from, sort of the legal, the leadership, and sort of general research.
Thank you. And then for phase one, that's still in the sort of the inception stage of each project. And at that point, are they still sort of equally allocated among everyone?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, I believe so. I'm happy to confirm this through the, yes.
The reason that I'm asking is I'm wondering if that is also a part of this budget or if this G&A budget is completely distinct from the phase one costs, because kind of as Commissioner Leveroni has suggested, what happens if the requirements from the CPUC get more complicated and there are far more phase one projects to consider?
Yeah, so the my understanding of the phase one projects is that they are sort of kind of the entry level research and development, right? And again, all participants would benefit from sort of knowing about, for example, developments in offshore wind, for example. But the entities, the members would need to opt in if they decide that, sort of a new type of renewable energy development is right for their load. Right. So if it doesn't make sense, say, for a Sonoma to participate, then they'll sort of opt out and not, progress on to, the project.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. It sounds like CC Power Authority is really looking to expand its efforts to know the market, to seek more projects on behalf of the nine participants, which seems all to the good. I assume they also only pursue clean energy projects. Is that right?
Absolutely. I will just sort of maybe make a technical distinction, though, between sort of the long duration storage, which is not necessarily clean energy, but does support our and the entire state's ability to sort of maintain, sort of maintain the lights on the grid, as it were. So other than that, it is all renewable energy.
Thank you. Let's call public comment.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item number 11. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve item 11?
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
Item 10 passes.
Thank you.
Item 11. Item 12, communications.
Commissioners, any comments or questions on the communications? I wanted to schedule a hearing on the alternative water supply program, the annual progress report. There's a lot of information in that report, and I had a lot of questions and clarifications. So if we could schedule that maybe September, October.
We'll get that on the calendar, President.
That's great. And I also saw that the triennial public health goal report will have a hearing on that in September as well.
Yes.
Great. Thank you for the reports. Really informative. Do we need to take public comment? No. Okay. Next item, please.
Item 14, public comment on the matters to be addressed during closed session. Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 15. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms.
Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
And I'm sorry, we skipped over item 13. Any items to be initiated by commissioners? Did we skip that? No, I was speaking about the correspondence, the reports that were part of the correspondence.
Okay.
Commissioners, do you have any items to initiate or discuss? No. Thank you. Okay, now on to item 14. Do we have any public comment?
No callers.
Okay. Commissioners, could I have a motion on whether to assert the attorney-client privilege regarding the three matters on our closed session calendar?
I move to assert the attorney-client privilege.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacy.
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni.
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow.
Aye.
The item passes.
Thank you. We are back in open session. I'd like to report that the commission voted to recommend all three settlements in closed session. Commissioners, could I have a motion about whether to disclose our attorney-client discussion during the closed session?
I move to not disclose.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Commissioner Thurlow?
Aye.
The item passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the meeting is adjourned.